Hey everybody, how you doing? It's Hex and his dog. How you doing, Wing? You should. Oh yeah, Wing's working. We can hear Wing. Yes, we actually Wing should probably. Oh, yeah. Didn't we have this before where we couldn't hear you? You should probably check on the stream that we can hear you.
That was once and. That was... That was that one time.
When, one time when at Hex... Bandcamp. We're streaming when for 2 hours.
Had a thingy.
We're streaming for it 2 hours.
Wasn't Trendy Talk, to be fair. Oh. You was just playing games.
Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome to Trendy Talk, the show where Wing and I talk about things we thought was interesting this week. Today, my camera's only looking at my luscious beard and my luscious chihuahua. Mostly because I know what people want and I'm giving them what they want. Hey, Davey. Oh, David Mitchell gave me £2. Whoa. I've genuinely never seen that before. Cool. A super chat. I've never seen a super chat before. But that's
all
awesome.
All right, hang on. I have to remember to turn it on to live
chat.
Oh,
I've got to turn it to live chat as well. Yeah, there stupid. You go. Hello, David. Hey. David Mitchell. This is my dog. I think it's a dog. It's either a dog or a baby deer. Hello. It's just this is its blanket. It likes to sit on my desk and scratch himself. If I put him on the floor, he'll just sit there and look at me till I put him on the desk. Or if I put him on the desk without his blanket, he slips around and gets mad at me. So this is what we came to. I put him on the desk, put my dog on the desk, on the blanket, he goes to sleep, everybody's happy. I wrote 6,000 words today with a dog on my lap. It was ridiculous.
Did he help?
No, not at all, actually. He kept distracted by licking my beard, like, delicately. I'm going to eat some coast...
Because that's where you store your food, right? The eyes, immediately. Oh. Share. He thinks he's a baby bird.
I don't think he can
he thinks
have
he's
any.
A baby bird, so you're going to like just vomit it back into his mouth.
Can dogs eat Cracker Jacks? Snacker Jacks?
I assume not.
I don't know. Apparently Safari can't open this webpage. Duck.com? No, not you, shut up. Okay. Can dogs eat Cracker Jacks? Can dogs eat crackers? Can dogs eat Cracker Jacks? Quality dog resources. Cracker Jacks are a mix of popcorn, nuts, and caramel. What? Just give me yes or no.
If they have caramel in them, no.
It's not really caramel, though, is it? It's just like caramel-flavoured nonsense. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to give the dog any Cracker Jack. How about that?
Yes, that sounds correct.
Do you want to go on the floor now? Are you done? Because I put this whole camera on you and showed you to people, and now you're just going to sit on the floor. Is that the plan? No, that's my desk.
He's got stage fright.
This is the show now. It's just what's the dog doing? Do you want to get down? Do you want me to help you with that? No, okay, no you don't. Okay, I understand, okay. Because if you do want to get down, now's a good time to do it so I can get on my show. I don't know what he wants, I don't speak dog, sadly.
Oh, if you did, you could make so much money.
No, people would just think I was mental, wouldn't they? I'd be like all...
I don't know, I'm sure there's something you could do that would like... could not otherwise be done unless you spoke dog.
Well, like get him to guess a number. Like, hey dog, point at the number 4 and he's like, well. The thing is, no matter how good I was at talking to dogs, right? Like, people would just assume I got a really well trained dog, wouldn't they?
That's why you have to like get a random dog and do it with science.
I have the worst superpower.
Nah, be great. Imagine all the interesting conversations backup has.
Yeah,
like, damn, my foot tastes amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like, the problem is dogs aren't going to be that interested ultimately, are they? He's chewing his own toes right now. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he's fine.
I don't get it. I wish I could chew my toes.
Yeah, then you wouldn't need nail clippers.
That's true.
They just got it all figured out.
He's really mad about the cracker.
It's so sad. Anyway, welcome to the backup show.
Yeah, welcome to the backup. This is the show, guys. I'm sorry. I should probably move the camera back to my face, but he's so cute.
He is.
Yeah.
So Hex got a dog. It's finally. A dog.
Yeah, how long? I've only been wanting a dog for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I finally found, I would say, the perfect dog. We did some training today, me and the dog, right? I've got one of those clickers. The reward, so you click and give them the reward, right? To like help train them. Mm. Yeah, there's no clicker, mate. You're not getting a reward. It's just my thumb. And I'm trying to get him to not bark at the next door neighbor's dog. And I was like, this sounds like magic. I don't think. Do you want to get there? Oh, there you go, bud. There you go, kid. Anyway, he's now looking at me. He's now just on the floor looking at me. Apparently I don't speak dog. It's true. So I was like, every time he didn't bark at the night, so like he'd go outside and he'd bark, and when he stopped barking, I'd be like, click, treat. And he was like, after about 4 times, he was like, okay, the no bark is treat, bark is no treat. And I thought he was starting to get it, but then he realized he has to bark before he can not bark. And I'm like, I'm not a dog expert.
So he did teach you a trick.
He did teach me a trick. He taught me how to give him cracker, how to give him small dog treats. He now chased the ball. I know what it's about. So it was pretty, yeah. But I did, I think overall, the levels of barking have been reduced. So that's good.
Already? Okay. It's pretty good.
Well, I started soft doing this yesterday. Then I was like, this morning, I was like, he's only going to, like, every time he goes out, he's going on the lead. We're going to show him where he got poop and pee. We'll give him little rewards. It's going to be good. And I think he's getting it.
That's good.
Other than that, I've learned that dogs are really fucking expensive.
I don't know. I've never known how to answer this question. I think what's just an expense you've always had, you don't think about it. Because I've never not had dogs.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining, but...
Oh, I know.
I also am complaining.
It's just one I've never thought of before, really, because it's just there, right?
Mm-hmm. He's, health plan, pet insurance, dog food, harness, collar, lead, bowls, like, treats. It's like, it just, like, slowly mounts up, testicle removals.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is once off, though, right? It's just kind of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean...
Once I bought food once, I'm never buying food for him again, so yeah.
Yeah, well, you know. Damn.
Actually, did you see those Julius... those Julius canine harnesses? They're dope, my dude. Oh, check these out. These are dope. I think I need to get one of these just because they look cool. I mean, they're very expensive, comparatively.
Like the big thick ones.
Yeah. It's like a saddle or something.
Yeah. Yes, I have seen this style before.
But dudes, they have a Paw Patrol one.
Yes, they do.
I'm gonna get him a Paw Patrol one. It's gonna be awesome.
Oh, look at all them colours.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty good. I'm going to get in one of these. It's cool. Because I bought him a harness, but I don't much like it.
What is size mini-mini?
Oh, I don't know. Apparently you got your puppy, your mini-mini, your mini, your mini-midi, your midi-midi, your midi-large, your large-large, and then your extra-large-large.
Fucking hell. Yeah, I've never, really like, my current dogs are small. Before that, though, I always had things that was considered medium to large. So I've never gone down this far in the size chart. Why didn't they just call it micro instead of mini?
I literally don't know. I can't answer that for you. There is a back leg support for dogs, though, which I thought was weird. That image isn't loading. There's like a weird arse handle for your dog you can get, which is quite impressive.
Yes, I see that.
I don't think I'd want an arse handle for my dog.
It says for mobility problems.
Oh, that makes more sense, I guess. I guess that.
There's... There's a lot of larger breeds can have problems with their back legs. It's yeah.
Do you want to come up or not, dog? He's now just like looking at me again. I don't understand it.
It's because you keep referring to him as dog instead of his name.
Yeah, he's okay. He likes it. His name is Backup Dog.
Poor baby.
Anyway, enough of that. Enough of dog talk.
Has been dog talk.
Well, I can't help it. I've got a friend.
No, I enjoy dog talk. Doggy talk. Welcome to doggy talk. How many negative words have you done since this backup has entered?
Negative words? Oh, you don't mean like fuck or stuff. You mean like actual...
No. How many less words have you done since I've had him
a week now, and he's just destroyed... Today was the first day I got back to writing properly. But for the first week, he just destroyed my writing. I was just staring at the dog for basically a week straight.
Yeah.
That was just it. Just stare at dog. I did enjoy staring at dog, but it wasn't very productive. So yeah, we're getting back
you
to
don't,
it.
You don't get a dog for being productive, Hex. It's friend.
Yeah, but like friend who makes me less productive, you know? Well, it's techie talk. We've got techie talk.
Old friends. Old friends make you less productive.
That is true, actually. If I had no friends, I'd be so much more productive.
Goodbye, Hex.
It's gonna hang up, but like, boop. No, that's enough. Productivity must come first. But yeah.
Anyway, all of Hex's characters now have dogs.
I was saying this earlier. Like I was saying this today, wasn't we? I don't think I've written a character with a pet. Like I've written like 5 novels and no one's got a dog. That's kind of weird when I think about it.
I don't know. Usually when novels have dogs, they play some part in it, right?
Yeah, but
it's
maybe like...
Just, it has a pet.
We should just be like, this man has a dog. There is no reason. There's no purpose. This man has a dog. What is up, says Techie Talkie.
Dogs
this
are
is
up.
What we do. We just talk about stuff that we find interesting. That's the whole show, really. So, yeah. And also, there's this thing.
Oh my god. Sorry. I was looking at that Julius Canine website, and it's got badges that stick to the side.
Oh, yeah, it's just one of them. Yeah, they're just Velcro strips, right?
They are, but one of them says Drama Queen, which is what you were calling him yesterday.
He was being a Drama Queen, to be fair. In my defense, he was being a Drama Queen at the time.
It's great. Anyway, on to other stuff. Where do we start?
I don't know. Let's celebrate 25 years. Can we do that?
Yeah. I mean, that was just a thing, right? Crete is really cool, and it is my art program of choice. And they've been going for 25 years. That's pretty cool, right?
So they must have, if they're 25 years old, that means they started their application in, 2006, right?
No, Hex.
2003,
Where is the date? It'd be more than that. It'd be 98, yeah.
Yeah, and I was actually joking. I'd already worked that out as well.
They do have a screenshot of one of the early builds, and it does look very MS Paint.
Is it really? I want to say. Oh my gosh, it does! I hadn't scrolled down this website.
It's how far they've come.
That looks...
God, I mean, that second one has that... I'm pretty sure Gimp still has that weird flame thing built into it as well.
I mean, why build it out, one. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, why get rid of it, right?
But yeah. Krita is one of those really successful open source projects. So it's nice that they have got that. But yeah. And I think KDE was doing some development fund roundup as well earlier this week. So, you know, just nice that this stuff actually works out sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Krita's one of those rare applications that people almost forget is open source. And I know that sounds kind of weird to people, but I think when people start forgetting a project is open source, that usually means it's actually really successful, because it's not like it's good even though it's open source, or you grow give it some slack because it's open source, but it's just good in its own right.
Yeah, I think the less nice way of phrasing that is that, damn, it doesn't look jank as old shit anymore.
I mean, let's look at where it came from, right? Like, that first screenshot isn't as bad as the second screenshot. The second screenshot is the worst. It just looks like a KDE application at that point.
I think KDE current is definitely like hyper polished, right?
Yeah, now it is. Yeah, but that there was a certain point where there was a certain look to KDE stuff, right? Like all Qt stuff, like, had that look.
It kind of had that massive dip. What was it? Was that KDE 4 where everything was just broken?
Yeah. Oh my god, Krita was part of KOffice originally. Wow, that's shocking.
KDE had its own office? I didn't actually know that.
I think it's still a project. I think KOffice is still going, isn't it?
Can't be. Why would... That's... Oh, holy shit. There you go. Let's see.
Is it still going?
Okay. Yeah. It seems to have transitioned it into what is now Caligra.
Okay, that's still cool, though. It's still going. That's cool. Good for them.
I've not opened. I don't even know when I last opened an office.
I mean, it was Word and you were doing some work for me.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But that, I don't know, that was I was doing that via Word web, which I didn't really count. But I didn't, yeah. Techie Talk says, well, feedback I heard is the Krita is closer to Photoshop in both functionality and UX than GIMP. I would call GIMP an image editor, and Krita versus where you want to create stuff, where you want to draw and stuff. It can do image editing, but it's designed for... It's technically, they market it as a digital painting program, so yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I would call Krita Photoshop.
Yeah, it's not really there for editing photographs as much as it is for, yeah, for doing things, for making things from scratch, right? To be honest, though, after I used to really like GIMP, but after using, like, Affinity Photo and Pixelmator Pro and stuff, I've started realizing all the places that GIMP has really fell down. That's the usual thing. Like, you start using the software, you realize how bad the software you've got is.
I don't know. GIMP has that giant update incoming, so who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But,
been talking about that for a while, though, right? Like, that's still a fair way off, right?
I don't know. I mean, they are completely... They're moving from... Is it GTK 3 to 4? And that's, like, a lot of work. So,
I mean, the fact it's a lot of work is shocking as well, right? Because it shouldn't be. Like, it shouldn't be a lot of work. No, don't stand on my keyboard, dog. Don't stand on my keyboard.
How is Affinity? Since you did link that as well.
Yeah, so for those of you that are interested, most people aren't.
That is a lovely header image on Affinity.
It is a lovely header image. Affinity Suite is 50% off. It's still like £70, so it's not cheap. Seriously, dog, you can't stand on my keyboard while we do the show. It's like, yeah, it's still not cheap. It's £79. It's not cheap, but it's very, very, very good. Specifically, the designer and the publisher I played with, and they're very good. And now that I'm refusing to pay subscriptions, that seemed like a pretty reasonable price for something that I'm planning on using for quite some time in the future.
I've never used Affinity stuff, but back when a few years ago when I was kind of into photography, I did see Affinity photo thing come up a lot as an alternative to Lightroom, I think.
Affinity's that weird hybrid thing where it's replacing a lot of the Adobe workflows. Like, it replaces raw image editing for like Lightroom and stuff. Also, it's got very similar Photoshop interface, and it's got some of the more modern stuff Photoshop's implemented as well. Stuff that's probably far more than I'll use, because I really like Pixelmator Pro, but really I bought this for designer and publisher. But the Affinity stuff is really polished, and it works on Windows as well, so it's not even like you can only use this on Mac. It's also a Windows application.
And iPad.
Well, yeah, by paying the £79 for the whole lot, I also get the iPad license as well. And the iPad software is basically identical to the desktop software, which is a bit weird.
I mean, that's good.
I mean, it is good, but usually iPad stuff has chunkier buttons and stuff, and they're like, no, fuck it, fuck you, use a mouse.
Oh, did it even, okay, you mean
it's like very
that
similar.
Way, okay.
Yeah. It's just like they just ported it. It's just like they ported it straight over, and it's quite big as well. But yeah, one of the things I like with it is you can get an application, you can be working on something in like Designer, and then just drop it into Photos with one button. It just the content stays still, and the interface shifts, which is quite cool. So you can just shift about. So you can get, basically, you can be doing something like Photoshop-y, and then get access to all the Designer vector stuff, and then drop over to the publisher stuff to add it to a magazine layout and stuff. But it's all very, very seamless. I mean, if you've got all three applications, it's incredibly smooth, which is nice.
That's good. Yeah. And unlike Adobe, I assume this stuff is also all local.
Yep,
Adobe
all local.
Seems to be moving to cloud stuff.
Yeah, all local, no subscription. And to be honest, I was going to wait, because this is one of those things I've got on my list of things to pick up over Christmas. Because there's always a Christmas discount, so I was like, I'll pick it up for the Christmas sale. But the reason I bought it now on sale is they've been bought out by Canva, and I think there's a possibility that they're gonna change their pricing model. But if you get in now, Affinity are informing people that they're not planning on robbing any one of the stuff they've bought. So if you buy it, this could be the last sale it has now, because before it gets some kind of subscription model or it starts having more online features.
Oh, that would suck.
It will, but I mean, it's been bought by Canva, so I can't see how it can't go in that direction. But that said, I do have a Canva premium license from work, so I can, if they do add Canva stuff in, I can probably log in and I'll get access to that as well, which is nice.
I don't know how you've accidentally activated a thumbs up thing.
Sometimes it just happens. I really need to turn that shit off. I really need to turn that shit off. It's awful.
I did like, there was... What was the name of that channel I linked the other day?
Oh yeah,
there's a very good video on dog vision, how dogs see.
Oh yeah, yeah. The guy that randomly activates it.
Yeah, and he also did that, and that's just kind of funny. Howtown YouTube channel. They only have two videos, but apparently they're coming from other channels or something. You did one of them already, right?
Yeah, Cleo Abrams was on their channel. She's really cool. She does like a lot of like really upbeat science stuff. So yeah, she's kind of cool. So I thought it was her channel. I was like, alright, didn't realize it was a different channel.
So it seems, the How Did They Know show from journalists Adam Cole and Joss Fong.
Ooh.
With Cleo Abram. There you go.
Yeah. She's great though. Her channel's really, if anyone follows Cleo Abram, her channel's really good. It's really fun. And it's like, it's genuinely like she summarizes stuff. So she doesn't make really long videos, but she makes really well thought out videos with a lot of information in there. So you tend to get from her is a lot of like a 5 minute video that tells you more than most 20 minute videos, which is good.
That's good.
But yeah, she always links to her sources, which is nice. Yeah, she's really good. I like her stuff a lot. Yeah. And her YouTube Shorts, she's one of the few people that makes YouTube Shorts that are actually worth watching as well.
This was like, this was really like well-produced video with, you know, good information and stuff. The things that YouTube should be, and, yeah. But what do you do?
Yeah, I agree. Anyway,
does
that was...
still need Python 2?
I don't. I haven't got a clue. I mean, not on Mac. So, I installed it as a DMG file, I think, so...
I have it in Flatpak, but...
Check them dependencies.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I mean...
It is not listed under dependencies on Debian, so... No, apparently not.
Yeah. So, no.
I didn't know it ever did.
I know, I vaguely... No, I think, didn't it only need that for plugins? Isn't it the plugin thing that needs Python, not GIMP itself? I don't know.
I've never used any plugins.
No, who knows? Anyway, next topic. Canada revenue... What is this topic?
Oh, right.
Canada
this was
demands
a really,
5%
this is
of revenue
really
from Netflix.
Thing.
Why are they demanding money from... Why?
Basically, Canada seems to have it in their head that streaming services is making people not want to watch Canadian content. So their answer to that is to like demand money from streaming services so they can support Canadian people making content. I'm like, that's a really weird thing to do, Canada.
I tell you now, right, and it's going to happen. Sooner or later, one of these governments is going to do some stupid shit like this, and the provider is going to pull out of the country. Like, they'll say, like, Netflix will go, okay, you can't use Netflix in Canada, bye. And you watch how fast the government changes their tune when all of a sudden they make something so unpopular. Because the company would be within their rights to not do business in Canada. There would be no problem with that.
It's like a few years ago when those companies were trying to charge search engines for linking to news. I was like, and then they did exactly that. They like Google pulled out of Spain or something.
And yeah, and they just
like,
turned around.
It only lasted like 2 weeks before they were begging them to come back.
Yeah, and this is what's going to happen here, because Netflix would have to give a 5% price hike in Canada to fund this. So you're stuffing your own citizens up.
That's all that happens.
Yeah.
Like, now, and I say this from a fuck big companies thing, but it just, regardless of how shit giant companies are, it feels wrong to demand money for nothing.
Well, a better way of doing that would be to demand the streaming services provide indigenous content. So a good way of doing that would be to say, okay, Canada, you have to provide X percentage of Canadian content. Like, that'd be more reasonable. So you're promoting Canadian content globally then, rather than stiffing companies in Canada. It doesn't make any sense.
It's kind of the same thing, because ultimately, if good content was being produced in the first place, and they wanted it on Netflix, they could just make a deal. I don't know.
I would like to agree with you, but I do think that Netflix especially is very AMI-centric. It's very USA-centric, to the point where they almost don't even bother with content outside of what's wanted in America. So, I mean, there is a little bit of the need. They need a poking to be more diverse when it comes to content sourcing. But this isn't the way to do it.
I mean, I do think that's just a problem. That's just a problem with the fact that every single streaming service is from America.
Yeah, I mean, that's another... Yeah. That's not true. We've got ITVX over here.
Uh-huh. I mean, your ones are even worse, because your ones, there'll be sometimes shows that are only on the English channels, but they won't allow people to stream them from outside of England.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not defending anything except the United Kingdom government does.
Yeah, but I don't think there's like, I mean, I get countries wanting their own stuff to be broadcast, but at the same time,
yeah, like
you know, I don't know, but yeah, it's a really weird one.
The right thing to do is for Canada to make their own streaming service just for Canadian content that's free to everybody in Canada.
Oh, you mean like them all free-to-air channels?
Yeah, like the BBC, maybe, you know?
Mm. I mean, they have to have a national broadcaster, right?
I mean, I assume they do.
I mean, everybody does. If we do, ours is shit, but I mean, we do. So, I mean, I'm not sure. It's just struck me as an incredibly weird thing to demand.
Yeah.
Even if it is from gigantic fucking
Hold on. I've just gone to the bottom of an Ars Technica article and don't see Quantum Leap. That's exciting.
Have you blocked it though? Because I did.
No, I'm on my streaming profile.
Ooh.
So maybe they fixed that.
That's finally amazing.
I'm refreshing the page.
Maybe they've seen that one short you made once.
Where I just bashed on them for it. There's a lot of F-16 stuff now though, so I don't know. Who knows what that's about?
The plane?
Yeah. Is there anything else called an F-16? Whoa, get off my keyboard, dog. Is there anything else called an F-16? I don't know. There's probably a car called an F-16, right?
I was thinking that.
My keyboard's got an F-16.
Yeah, I did not know that the full name for that was the F-16 Fighting Falcon.
I don't know what the F stands for. If anyone cares,
the
I've got
F also stands for Falcon.
If anyone cares, I've got 19 Falcon keys on my keyboard. I don't know why either. I don't know why. So yeah, fuck Canada, I guess. Debian's what's this one? Debian stuff? I'm not reading
this
that.
This is a really weird thing that's been ongoing. There's a second link underneath from a previous one, but there was this old developer that they kicked out back in 2018, and his name is at the top of this. If you just Google his name and Debian, he just seems to have spent the entire time since he was kicked out creating content attacking Debian. Like, it just seems to be all he did, which is really strange and kind of, you know, justifies them kicking him out, even though he says it doesn't. But another thing
like
he did,
does. I'm gonna Google his name.
Yeah, another thing he did was register a bunch of domains with Debian in the name that Debian didn't own, and he also registered the Debian logo as a trademark in Switzerland, which is what the newest one is about. Basically, he had been ordered. You know, that's a well-known trademark.
My audio went all blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Yeah, so he tried to register Debian's logo as his own trademark.
Daniel Peacock looks like, I mean, he's got what is it, Daniel Tiny Cock, right? I think that's how it's pronounced. He's just got the most tragic face, hasn't he? I do not enjoy his face.
I don't know.
He's all neck. He's all neck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
He's got an earthworm Jim expression.
But Debian, you know, obviously said, yeah, no, we've been using that for like, I don't know, 30 years.
It's quite an oversight they haven't registered it globally, though, isn't it?
I mean, they did say that. It is something they're working on, because it just... I mean, they shouldn't have to. Because copyright and trademark law is bollocks anyway, but he's... That this dude had set up a company for this, and when he was ordered to take it down in November, and instead he just liquidated his company and ignored everyone. So this is just Debian giving updates on this entire situation, which is fucking odd, and I will never understand people who have nothing better to do than just bitch about being let go from something.
I mean, I don't quite know what he's doing there. I'm also not going to read that because that sounds like boring project politics stuff.
He's very good at. Dude, he's very good at writing, like writing as if he's the one in the right. He's very good at bullshitting, so I just wanted to point this out in case any of his bollocks came across your feeds.
I don't want Daniel Pocock's bollocks on my feed. You can quote me on that. I don't want Daniel Pocock's bollocks on my feed. I'm trying to keep the dog's head off my keyboard right now. I'm just going to move my keyboard.
Backup does what he wants.
He does whatever he wants. He's just like, right now, what he wants apparently is just to lie on my desk. Just to lie there. Just lie there. You're like, I think he's pretending to be dead. I don't know what he's doing.
I mean, I'd seen you move him yesterday, and it did look like you were moving a body for a second.
He just like, see, if I just rotate the blanket, he's just like, yep. He just doesn't care. But his head's on the desk at the minute, so if I rotate it, I'll give him, like, desk burn.
I don't think so. He has fur.
Let's try some rotatey dog. There you go. Oh, there you go. His eyes opened. He's just like, I. There you go.
That's how you know he's still alive.
Yeah, he doesn't care. I know what it's about. Okay, so Microsoft is reworking Recall after researchers point out to see. Okay, can you just tell me exactly what Recall does? Because I feel like I knew, but it was so crap, I just binned it off.
Recall is Microsoft's great idea to basically... I think it actually works by taking screenshots of your computer every minute.
Why?
And then the idea seems to be, it also saves some database stuff, but they use AI image recognition bollocks to just know everything. The apparent use case for this is, I forgot what I was doing X or Y. What was I doing at this time? Or what was that thing I looked at earlier? And it'll know. In order to do that, they thought it was a great idea to take screenshots of your desktop constantly. And, like, I'm not sure the use case is very good anyway, but also massive security issues, right? It's like,
yeah, Microsoft, yeah, okay.
And Microsoft, nobody trusts Microsoft with security. They have had nothing but problems. They have had so many problems over the last, 4 or 5 years that even the US government came out and said that they weren't secure enough for them. And that's a big one. But they have now... They've now put out a little update that turns it off by default instead of on by default.
I mean, I can't imagine you'd turn that on.
Well, I imagine that in a few months it'll just turn itself on. Because everyone will have forgotten about it. Like they do with every other setting.
Yeah, the Microsoft are in a war of attrition against their own users. Which is just a bit sad.
It's not good.
Microsoft are on self-destruct. I've said this for ages. Microsoft need to turn into a service company and just stop bothering with operating systems. Because they're just doing shit. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're just mad.
I mean, an operating system has not been a good business for ever. I'm not sure it ever was.
It's so much money to develop an OS and maintain an OS. And you grow and maintain that for 3 to 5 years. And the users are not going to pay you more than a few quid for it. Like, an operating system is something you need. Like, Apple make Mac OS to sell computers. That makes sense. Like Chrome OS is to sell Chromebooks. Microsoft aren't selling enough computers to make the development of an OS even remotely worth it. I'm not entirely sure anyone is. That's why everyone's based on something on Linux.
And BSD.
Well, yeah. They're based on the Unixes, generally speaking.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that Microsoft just, like, dumped themselves into a corner where they have, like, just legacy out the ass.
I'm still...
On Windows, because they refuse to drop it.
I still think they're going to quietly swap round the WSL so that it's running Linux with Windows as an emulation layer. I thought they'd do it more publicly, but I think they're just going to do it quietly. Like the WSL will start playing more and more of a part to the point where they're not doing anything else.
It's really hard to guess where they're going because I don't think
mad.
Even they know what they're doing.
They're mad
they are.
As cheese.
Like even the new Surfaces.
Copilot key. Just
no. I mean, the Copilot key is stupid.
What's that new Surface? What number is the new Surface?
10. The new Surface, though, is really weird because you can only buy the x86 model if you're a company. Consumers can only buy the ARM version. And, like, most people seem to still be saying ARM Windows just isn't there.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it seems really weird to throw everyone onto something that is probably not great at the moment.
What?
Because they have not done a Mac. I think they think they've done a Mac, but they haven't.
I mean, Apple are in a unique position, generally speaking, right? Because they control the entire stack from ground up with basically as much legacy as they decide. Microsoft don't control the stack in the same way because they have no fucking clue what people do in their computers.
Yeah. I mean, all that said, the Surface is a lovely device.
Hardware.
Surface 9.
Oh, lovely hardware.
Yeah.
But that doesn't
goddamn, the Surface 10 page has some bollocks on it. Oh, look, Copilot key. AI enhanced ultra wide field of view. That doesn't mean anything, Microsoft.
What does that mean?
I swear,
if you just write the word AI on anything, everyone's like, oh, good job. Oh, yeah, good job.
Mm. It's fine. We've finally reached a point where a lot of people have started going, yeah, this is going nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, it was not those self-driving cars. In fact, AI and self-driving cars have got the same problem, right? Like, we've been told it'll be great the next version for, like, 20 years. It's like we've just been told forever. I mean, like VR, our next version, we're going to nail it. Next version, this is it. It never comes. Fucking stupid.
VR was...
No one wants it.
Yeah, it was never going anywhere.
Yeah, the problem with... I mean, to be honest, the only VR device ever released that I'm vaguely interested in is the Apple thing. And the only reason I'm interested in that is I'd like to play with it for about an hour. Like, I don't actually want one. I just want to mess with one. Like, and I know I wouldn't even consider buying one.
That seems to have been the only people who bought them because apparently their usage just dropped off a cliff.
When I'm looking to buy my next Mac... When, like, the M10's out or whatever, right? And I'm like, I could buy the next Mac or I could buy a Vision Pro and have to say, and have, like, and then I've got ultra portable, unlimited monitor. Like, when you get to that point, all of a sudden, that becomes a prospect that's interesting. But they'd have to look like my glasses. They'd have to be wearable. Like, if I could buy a magic pair of glasses that had a built-in computer and I just pair a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse to it, and then I've got everything I need, like that would be phenomenal.
And they had a really good battery.
I'm not even that bothered. As long as the battery was like 8 hours, like it wouldn't have to be like a 13-hour battery like a MacBook because you've got that thing where you can just plug it in, right? So like, I'm not even, like the battery doesn't have to be phenomenal to make it useful. It just has to be better than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm
new battery technology, baby.
Again, that's with VR and AI. New battery technology is just around the corner. Is it, though? Is it really? Anyway. Sony unveils advanced microsurgery. Oh, this is the Corn Hub.
Yes. So Sony have invented a corn operation robot. It's actually very impressive. It's just funny that they used corn. There's definitely a reason they used corn, but you know, it's really cool. I enjoy these robots. This is not the first one. Surgery assistance robots have been a thing people have been trying to get right for ages. But this one seems really good, and it's like specifically for working in tiny fucking areas, which is probably one of the reasons they did it on a corn piece.
Yeah, it shows like we know how big corn is, right?
How? What are the individual corn segments called?
Kernels.
No, is kernel not the thing?
Are they corn kernels? They're called kernels.
I thought kernels were only when they were like the seeds, no?
No, a corn kernel, like a kernel of corn is a little bit of corn that pops into popcorn.
I see. Okay.
It's one of those, but the thing's also called a kernel. A cob, okay. With a kernel on a cob. I think that's right. I'm certain that's right. Email wing at wing.com.
What?
I don't know, I'm just getting to email you about corn. With all corn updates,
yes.
Please email wing at feather.onl. And could you title it corn facts, please? Corn facts in the email to wing at feather.onl. He'll then forward all corn facts to me with an AI explanation.
I will do. This is, anyway, actually, yeah, speaking of AI, this is not a hyper AI bot like some of them were. But like if you watch the video, he's got like little... You know, he's doing a lot bigger movements that are happening with the tiny arms. So, you know, he gets quite... whoever's using it gets quite precise control. And one of the other cool things it does is it has, like... And it can swap out the tools. Whereas I think before this, there was always different arms completely. But this has exchangeable tools just sitting on the device. So it's just a really cool robot. We haven't had robot news in ages.
Yeah, and that it does look cool, right? It does genuinely look quite cool.
Yeah.
Ah, go away, dog. Dog knocked my hand
off. Do all kinds of tiny surgeries because... I mean, you're always better off making as small of a hole as possible for surgeries. And this'll let you do that. It's neat. It's changing a fucking gun cartridge when it changes tools.
That's cool though. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's just neat.
That's really cool. That's the sort of augmentations and stuff we want though, not like adverts in your eyeballs.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. I'm in favour of this.
Yeah.
And also, it's nice to see Sony doing something because they've basically been shit since the PlayStation 1. So good for you, Sony.
What's next? They don't do a whole lot. But
they don't do a lot of anything. Next. They're a bit rubbish. They're a bit shit, aren't they? Let's be honest. Is what we got? Are we on films now?
I'm gonna just skip over there for a sec.
Okay.
I bought a PS5 controller. Speaking of Sony. Because my PS4 controller that I've had for years now just keeps randomly dying.
Oh,
the battery is just fucked. So I just took that opportunity to go, I'll just buy a PS5 controller, which PS5 controllers are too expensive.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say that. They're ridiculous. However, what was that? That was like 2 weeks ago. I've only charged it once since I got it. It's got a battery in it like the fucking Switch Pro controller. It's really good.
That's great. I'm trying to.
Are you taking pictures of dog?
I'm taking a picture to show you the ridiculous angle I'm having to do the show at right now. I'll show you this after the show. Remind me to show you this after the show because this is fucking ridiculous.
But anyway, the PS5 controller is really it's definitely bigger than the 4, definitely like noticeably bigger and heavier than the 4 because when I had the two of them, so I was like comparing. However, the grips are much more comfortable than the 4s were because they're longer, but they're also slightly curved in, whereas the 4s were kind of curved outwards. Yeah. And it has like just the triggers. I don't know how to describe them, but they just feel really, really nice. And they've also removed the giant light bar at the back, which I presume is helping with the battery. It's now just got a small light underneath the touchpad.
They always put lights and controllers. Like the Xbox one, right? You've got this fucking great big white light in the middle. And it's like, all I want is a slight glow to let me know it's on. I don't need a fucking giant X on my controller. I've actually put tape over, I think I can show you. I've actually had to put tape over mine to make it less visible.
Yeah, no, I did. I've done the same on several things. Yeah. My Nook has a really bright light that I've done that on. I don't know why. But you can actually, on Steam, if you go to the controller settings, you can actually turn the light down and change the colours.
I mean, that's cool, but almost nothing applies on Steam directly anymore.
That's your fault.
Well, no, because I play with Remote Link on my Steam Deck. So I don't, it's all confusing the way all my stuff's set up now. I don't understand it.
But if you're using Remote Play on your
Steam Deck. It's my Xbox. My Xbox controller's the problem. So my PS5 controller, my PS4 controller is connected to my Steam Deck, which is fine. But my Xbox controller is the one I use on my Mac and my iPad. Then nothing can play on there is actually on Steam.
Oh, it's not actually connected to the Steam Deck.
Yeah, it's not connected. But sometimes I forget and I pick it up and then I use Steam Link and I end up playing it through my Mac and I don't really understand how it works, but it does.
You've just lost track of...
Yeah, I just don't even know what's going on. It's like I'm a Mac user. Things just happen, and I don't question it.
It all works by magic.
I mean, all joking aside, I know it's fashionable to bash Mac, but it really does all work by magic. Like, I just don't understand how anything connects. Sometimes I pick something up and I go, "They never connected that, like ever, not even once," and it just goes.
I mean, I have seen that in action, and yes, it is.
it's nonsense, right? Like, sometimes I'm doing something, and then I turn to my iPad, and it's like it magically knows somehow, and then my cursor and my keyboard are on my iPad, and I don't even know how it works. It's magical.
It's like that time your phone booked itself in for a repair.
Yeah, but my phone just books itself in for a repair, and I just go... And like years ago, I would have gone, fucking, that is scary. But now I just go, thanks, Tim Apple, and get on with my day. Just like I don't care. I'm the worst nerd. I think the reason I'm the worst nerd is because I know how bad I am. Like, I intellectually know how fucking bad I am. Like, I'm aware of it. And it makes me sad sometimes. I'm like, I should give so many more shits. Anyway, the PS5 controller looks really nice, was my point that I got lost in.
It does, but I had one weird issue with it when I started messing with it. Whenever I loaded up a game, my headphones disconnected.
Yes.
Which was...
baffling.
Very unusual, yeah. Which I messed with for like an hour, where I was like, yep, no idea. Until it was, I think, the next day, when you said... have you tried a different game? And I said, that doesn't make sense.
I distinctly remember, have you tried it? You went, it doesn't make sense. I went, I don't care. Try a different game. And you went, fine. And then it worked.
And it did work. Yeah. The issue seems to have been Proton, because I'd been running Proton 8, but 9 came out. I don't know what the difference is, but when I changed it to 9, it worked fine.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Just really odd.
So it wasn't Neo specifically, it was Proton. Because last time we spoke, you thought
but it only happened with Neo.
Right.
Because I tried several other ones with 8, and they were fine.
That's weird, right?
So I assume Neo's using a different audio library or something than everything else.
I mean, that wouldn't be out of ordinary, right? For a random game, if it's random, yeah, it's fine. But yeah,
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a weird one. Unrelated.
I've never heard of that. I've never actually heard of that.
No, me neither. It's weird. Never had that issue with anything else before.
It does go against logic as well, though, right? Like, I bought a new controller and now my headset disconnects. Like, that does, like, if someone told me that, I'd just say... no, that's not true.
Well, I mean, my first thought was because the PS5 controller has a mic built in that it was just oversaturated.
Yeah, that's what I said as well. Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Yeah, but
yeah, no. That mic isn't even picked up on Linux, so I don't know.
Also, can I just say, the Cyberpunk 2077 PS5 controller, they're all dope. We need them. They're ace.
Let's have a look, see.
Yeah, just like, they're real nice.
There's multiple, the yellow one and the brown one.
I mean, they're all really nice, but I like the yellow one with like the not the
character. There's a black one too.
Yeah, the black, it's black and yellow with just the word Cyberpunk on the trackpad.
The brown one has a bullet in the touchpad.
Why can't I see the brown one? Controller 2077. Look. Oh, no, strike all that. Someone buy me the brown one right now. I need that in my life.
That's well done. That is.
That's really nice. I need that one. That's great. That's Wow. I actually kind of want a PS5 controller just for that.
Do you have a 4?
I've got a DS4. I think it's a DS4.
I assume so, because the 5 is like 70 quid.
I've got this thing.
Yeah, that's a 4.
Before that, I had a DS. I had the one without the trackpad. That was also fine.
It was the same thing, just without the trackpad.
I don't really use that trackpad for anything, so I didn't really care. But I do know the battery life's not great on it, so every time I use it, I have to charge it. And I think, is that the one that's like, it's not, it's like US, it's like USB micro. Yeah, it's USB micro. It's a pain in the ass to charge.
Yes, that is another reason I kind of wanted to get the 5, because that is
everything should be
a few things I had left with a micro USB.
I do want everything to use the Lightning connector, actually.
No, I mean, Apple's moving to C2, so.
No, I want the Lightning connector because my keyboard and mouse use the Lightning connector.
Sure, there's a C to Lightning adapter.
Actually, I've got one. I just don't. I've got like, because everything I bought just got a Lightning connector in the box. So I just stick everything in the box.
Did the new ones still use Lightning? I thought they'd move to C.
No. I've got literally there is current trackpad, and it's got a Lightning connector on the back. So yeah.
Yeah, but the new Mac, does that not use the C?
Oh, the Mac's there. Yeah, the Mac's got USB-C. Mac has, but the keyboard and the trackpad still use Lightning.
Yeah, but they're older though, I assume.
Yeah, they're older.
Refreshed and be using C.
I guess so. I mean, they refreshed. Yeah, I mean, the mouse refresh was fairly recent. It's still got that amazing charging port on the bottom. I don't know. I assume they'll get to it eventually because they're only phasing it out because the EU laws make it a pain in the ass to do anything else, right?
If they ever update that mouse, the only thing they're going to change is where that charging is.
I know everyone makes a big deal about it, right? And I really do understand why, right? But, like, I don't give a shit. I just plug it in and charge it occasionally. It's just a non-problem. People make such a big deal out of something that's actually, like, I'm not defending. It is a stupid place to put it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being an Apple apologist, right? But also, I just plug it in. It just charges. And when I go to bed, it's like, when the mouse goes, I need charging soon, it almost always, like, has got enough charge to get you through for like 2 more days. So you just charge it when you go to bed and it's fine. Like, I've never really had an issue with it. The real issue with it
I think it mostly comes from the fact that, you know,
it is stupid.
They really pride themselves on design.
But like the real thing wrong with the Magic Mouse, right, is the fact that it's designed to be touched, yet they put glossy perspex on it. That's the real crime. It's ridiculous. That I don't know why that isn't matte. And also, I don't know if you can see this, right? But it's like it's clear perspex with basically black print on the back of it. So it looks kind of off grey in the light. It doesn't even look black. It's a bit shit, to be honest. And the last problem is the mouse is the same regardless of which way around it is. So the amount of times I've cleaned my desk and I thought my mouse is inverted for like a good 5 minutes before I realised, it's annoying. Yeah. Alright, I'm having a little rant about my mouse there. But it's still a pretty good mouse. And it doesn't make a lick of sense outside of a Mac ecosystem.
It's not a real mouse, that's why.
And I've got this for when I occasionally play Halo. Sorry.
I found a really nice keyboard for my Android.
Yes. For your Android, this Heli board.
Yes.
What? There's no screenshots. Oh, there's screenshots. Okay.
There is on the bottom. It's it's the only one I've ever found that is not Google or Samsung that has swipe typing. And it works. With the caveat that the actual swipe typing library you have to download yourself, because it is that library is not open source, but it doesn't matter. I don't care. The rest of it is. Also, weirdly, the little alternate keys for when you hold down a letter.
Yeah.
It has a backspace, but not a forward slash, which confused me. But in the settings, you can change every single one of those.
Oh, right, nice. So you just really cool. Swapped out for forward slash.
Yeah, that's it.
What did you lose for forward slash?
Backslash.
Oh, you just lost backslash for forward slash. That makes sense.
Well, I mean, backslash is still on it if you go into the actual symbols thing.
Oh, okay.
But for quick stuff, because I occasionally use a terminal on it, I wanted a forward slash.
That makes sense. Yeah, that just looks like the Pixel keyboard, right? It just looks like that.
Yeah.
That's
but
nice.
it has like a split thing and a mini mode for one-handed and stuff like that. That's just super nice. It's the nicest alternative one I've found.
That's good. People should use Heliboard if you're on whatever Wing is on. What is it called?
Android.
There you go.
I also noticed there was a Dex update like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And the mouse cursor changed, and I was like, "Okay, cool. You're blurry."
Oh, no, it's fixed now. Don't worry about it. It happens. I just ignored it. It went away.
Yeah, the mouse cursor changed, and I was like, that's fine. If you scroll down that GitHub page, it's the black one. So a friend of mine was having he's trying out Linux, and I was trying to figure something out for him, and he's using Mint. So I installed Mint on a virtual machine, and he had this exact same mouse cursor as the new Dex one. And so I got the name of the Mint one. It's the Bibata cursor, it's the exact same, and I just thought it was really weird.
Does that mean Dex is using Cinnamon or something on the back end?
I don't think so.
They just like the mouse.
According to Samsung, it's their One UI. So, who knows? I mean, it's an open source cursor, you know. They can use it. It's fine.
I mean, they'll have to have license.
I just found it incredibly weird because they also have settings for this cursor where you can change the color, and it's just all these same colors.
Yeah, they must have nicked it then, right? What's the license on this? Do they need attribution?
GPL.
Oh, so they do need to attribute. Okay.
I mean, it's probably in there somewhere. I never actually know where to look for that stuff because they bury it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's one of those things where it has to be technically there, right?
Wow. Anyway. I just clicked on the Bibata.live website. And you can get
I didn't know.
Wow. One mouse cursor, Bibata. How to upgrade to a pro account. Wow. Okay.
This is a lot of stuff for a mouse cursor.
I mean,
but whatever, I guess.
It's a lot of stuff for a mouse cursor. It's also fucking horrific. Can we just take a moment for this website? Because fuck me, that's an ugly website. These are the heroes. The proficient team spearheading the Bibata. I mean, what the fuck? Wow.
It's just a sponsored list. It's fine.
Is it? Oh, okay. I thought it was a coder's list. Wow. So what's the studio? Oh my gosh, there's a studio? Where I can make my own curse. I hate everything about this Wing. I would uninstall Dex and throw it in the bin.
It's fine.
I fucking hate this. Anyway. I hate the fact this mouse cursor has got a studio. You fucking hate that. I'm getting off that website right now before I throw my computer out the window. Hard Shipbreakers. What? Oh, we're not Shipbreakers.
Yes. No, that is exactly what I was going to go to.
It's good stuff.
Our friend Hex sent me this a couple of weeks ago.
Did I?
Because it was in. Yes, you did. It was in a Humble Monthly thing.
I don't remember that, but great. I mean, good guy, Hex. Yeah. I guess I don't remember that.
Though. Yeah, and I loaded it up last week for, and it's just it's like one of those sim games, except you just take apart spaceships, and just dunk them and stuff, and it's just nice and chill, and also it's just got funny. Corporate bullshit humor, and I like that.
I've apparently played 1.2 hours of it. I honestly thought I played more than that, but it's good.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just a fun little thing. I will say, I play it as just it's just chill game, right?
Yeah.
So there, normally, you have like a time limit on the ships, which doesn't really matter. It just means you have to stop and go back to your thingy and come back out and you can continue on, which is just kind of silly. So I play in the open shift mode where you have no time limit. And you also have an optional oxygen tank setting, which I was playing with, but then I turned that off too because I was just like, I just want to take apart spaceships.
This is not the kind of game where you're there for the challenge, right? You're there because it's cool to take apart spaceships.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely.
You take apart spaceships. I mean, it has. It's, you know, you've got like a laser thing for cutting up panels, and it does have, like, if you depressurize a section of the ship too quickly or whatever, explosions and stuff happens, and there's parts to it, and you can die. But if you die, it's funny.
You just get recloned. But also, you probably didn't pick up, but a lot of the spaceships are basically straight off like 1970s, like book covers and shit.
I assumed, probably, yeah. And as you do have like a level up thing, as you level up, you unlock more ships to take apart.
Yeah,
so it's just but it's not very deep, but it's got funny humor and it's just chill, right? So, cool. It's cool. And it's currently on sale for 60% off.
Which makes it £11. It's definitely worth £11.
Yeah.
Also, do you ever... I know we're so used to seeing it that we don't say this often, right? But have you ever, like, just scroll down the Steam website? It is an absolute fucking clusterfuck. I've only just thought about it. But, like, the amount of shit good on this page is just impenetrable.
I don't know. I'm probably just so used to seeing it.
Yeah, I'm just like, we're so used to it, we don't really. But from a UI point of view, right? Like, before you scroll down, there's a massive section here that's just used for tech for entering a review I don't want to add. Instead of it being a button that brings it up, it's just a massive fuck-off window, right? And you keep scrolling down, and there's loads of shit that people just wouldn't understand. Like,
probably.
There's so much shit that, I do not get that.
I never even noticed that word section before.
What were you section?
To the right of the description, there's like an awards drop down. I do like how all this shit has gotten so big, Valve just started hiding it by default. You have to click read more even on the description.
Yeah, honestly, that's just.
Also, can I just say, Valve, please fix the bloody thing where in the carousel at the top, the first one is always a video, which I click off immediately. But it will always reset itself and continue playing the video as I'm scrolling down the page. It's very annoying. Stop that.
Yeah, I don't have that, but that's probably because it doesn't support Chrome.
It happens both in the browser and in the actual Steam client, so it's definitely a thing they're doing.
I wonder if there's an option on it, because I haven't got that. I'm not, like...
I mean, I'm fairly sure I would have turned off anything like that.
Fair enough.
If I was given the option. Anyway, we've watched a couple of things. We'd actually watched Black Hole we had watched last time, but we just didn't have time to cover it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should probably go over it very quickly, but I think it's important to say that Black Hole is a really good film with a very peculiar ending.
Quite possibly the weirdest Disney film you'll ever watch.
Oh yeah, the fact is Disney's just mad. I don't know what happened. But I really like Black Hole. I think it's a really fun, like, fun's not the right word. It's like, I don't know, it's Disney grim. It's like, it's a weirdest thing. It's just, yeah, I really like it though. It's got like a weird Victorian, it's like a haunted house, right? That's probably the best way of thinking about it. It's like a haunted house movie.
Oh yeah, it's,
where it's in it space.
Is it a space station or a spaceship? That is
it's
kind
not
of
clear.
Ordered, like,
it's not really clear. It's stuck, a ship that's acting as a station.
It's like stuck on the edge of a black hole.
Yeah. But obviously when they made it, they didn't give much thought to science because of time dilation isn't mentioned, but whatever. And there's weird robots that seem to have bizarre motivations.
Oh my god, stuff. Bob. Bob was...
Bob, yeah.
No, oh, Vincent, sorry. Vincent.
Yeah. Vincent and Bob, yeah.
Vincent, they are great robots.
Yeah.
However, okay. The other robots that are in the control station and stuff, very obvious what they actually are.
Yeah.
But whatever. The opening, like, what was that, like 15 minutes? Is nauseating.
I like it. It is. But like there's the bit where the station ship, they get close and the lights come on, right? But it's a model and it's a practical effect, which means that when they turn the lights on, the lights sort of glow down the shaft because it's an actual model. So it's not ray tray, it's not really good 3D, it's just a fucking model because it was fucking
1970s. Oh yeah, no, that stuff's cool. I'm talking about very beginning. Where they're in their ship on their way to it and they're doing really weird low gravity and camera bobbing, and it's
cool though. Like, it's technically very cool, even though it's you know,
they did it well,
yeah.
But on camera it's nauseating.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
I really like it. I would recommend anyone to watch it, but you're not going to enjoy it in the way that you enjoy movies. Like, you're not... Enjoyment's the wrong word. It's something you experience, and it's a haunted house, and it's depressing without quite being depressing. It's very 70s in the same way something like Colossal is. But there's this bizarre set work in it that just makes it glorious, and there's just this oddly cheerful robot, and it's like when they wrote the script, they didn't know it looked like a Henry Hoover that could fly.
Yeah.
It's just great. But that ended. That ended.
I mean, there's some very odd story choices and motivations.
Yeah,
and
there's a woman that's got a psychic link to a robot, yet they never explain it at any point. Like, they never explain what that's about. They just like, a woman's got a psychic link to the robot.
It is a very important plot point.
Yeah, but why? Like, it doesn't make any sense, but why, you know?
Scene where that very same robot, for some reason... plays like a shooting arcade game against the other robots that run the ship for
and
reasons.
And then they get mad and start fighting. And it's like, what? Yeah. I'd watch it. I'd watch it again right now. Like, it's good enough that I would watch it repeatedly. But you have to kind of understand what 70s films are about in order to really get it. Because when you say 70s film, people think Alien. And Alien was like a fucking unicorn in the sense that it was a 70s film that was also really good. Most 70s films are just fucking weird and end on a down note. And I like that, but I get that a lot of people would find it bizarre.
It was an odd movie, but there was a good time watching it.
Yeah.
For various reasons.
Because
yeah.
the weird spaceship they go to, it is like a castle, isn't it? It's like a space castle.
Yeah. The spaceships and stuff are cool.
I want a Doom game set on Black Hole spaceship. I want Doom. I want the next Doom game to be set on that.
What's the name of the spaceship?
Oh, it's got a weird name, hasn't it? What's the
Palomino?
Weird name?
Was that their ship or was that?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, the Cygnus.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking weird ending. Love it. There's like, I think anybody that's interested in classic science fiction should watch as many 70s sci-fis as you can, because they never made them like that. They never ever like you didn't get that before or after the 70s. There was something magical and deeply depressing about the 70s sci-fi, and it's great. Yeah, there's so many. Yeah, thing. Yeah, it's gonna go. I could go off and on. I could probably do a video essay on the weirdness of 70s sci-fi.
Actually, I forgot to add, thingy. You've lost in space. You've also watched the show.
Oh, actually, yeah. We should talk about the film first, and I'll talk about the show afterwards. Yeah. The Lost in Space film from 1998, is a bad film, but it's bad in very enjoyable ways.
Yes.
It's fun bad. It's bad like the Spice Girls are bad. It was supposed to launch a franchise, but instead it basically killed three people's careers. And yeah, did you enjoy it? Because you watched it a lot. Did you enjoy it in the end? Now you've reflected on it?
Yes. I mean, it wasn't good, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not good, but you enjoy it, right? That's the thing with it, right? It's not good, but it's oddly enjoyable. It's got some pretty nice 90s spaceship stuff happening at the beginning. And their design of the actual Jupiter, the famous Jupiter 2, is very good as well. But plot-wise, it's obvious that they've butchered a much better movie to make a bad movie because they wanted it to be exciting. For anyone who doesn't know, Lost in Space, the 1990s film, is based on the Lost in Space TV show from the 60s. 50s? 60s.
Lost in Face.
Lost in Face. I'm sure it's the 60s. Anyway, it's based on the old Lost in Space TV show. And it uses every trope, but I'm not sure who it's using the tropes for. Because I'm not sure people expected them to make a faithful retelling of the original Lost in Space. And they kind of wanted to. But the original Lost in Space was silly and a bit kitsch and a bit innocent and a bit, well, 60s. And they kind of missed the mark. Except Gary Oldman, who played Dr. Smith in it. Gary Oldman was straight up playing a 1960s villain in a 1990s film. And he was fantastic, but totally out of place the whole way through.
Evil guy, yes.
Yeah. He was so good.
No, he was good.
He was so good, but he was in the wrong film. Yes. He was just genius, but he was good.
Even at the end, he was good too, when there was two of them.
Yeah, when he's the weird monster man.
I
don't think you have to worry about spoilers for a bad film from the 90s. Mm. I don't think we have to worry about that.
That last bit when he was like all fucked up and shit was actually quite well done.
Yeah, and the guy that plays what's his name? The guy that plays Jared Harris plays old Will Robinson, like grown up Will Robinson. And for anyone who doesn't know, Jared Harris is an absolutely phenomenal actor. Like, he is like him and Gary Oldman go toe to toe perfectly as that. And Gary Oldman, again, a fantastic actor. He played Smith.
It wasn't until you pointed out that he was the dude from Foundation.
I know, right? Because like, I was making jokes about Harry from Foundation got lost, and like, no one got it until about halfway through the movie. Like, holy shit, that is him! I was like, I know, right? I know, it's great, but it's brilliant and nonsense, and yeah, whereas Black Hole is a good film that's very of the time that makes it not good now. Lost in Space was never a good film, but it's so 90s, it's become like a weird artifact of the weirdness of 90s sci-fi. And yeah, I'd watch it. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I think it's bad, but good. That's the best way of saying it, right?
I mean, you'll never see anyone else go through the sun.
Oh yeah, and some of the plot holes in it, right? They fly through a planet, and it's just horse shit, but it's so exciting and silly that you don't mind. But what they should have done is purposely made it exciting and silly, where instead of being purposefully nonsense, it's nonsense by accident, and they're just really trying to hope you don't notice. And it's just a bit sad. Just a bit sad. But yeah, it was a big flop. It was supposed to launch a franchise, and it was obviously set up to launch a franchise that just never happened.
I mean,
it was rubbish.
I was just reading the Wikipedia. It did actually hit number one in the box office.
What, for about an hour?
It doesn't matter. It knocked Titanic out of place.
Did it really? Wow. Titanic is a very bad science fiction movie. There's no spaceships in it. It's very bad, as science fiction goes.
It does have ships. Yep.
Did I tell you about why I can't watch Titanic? Did you know about this? You
might not know this. Wait. It ended Titanic's 15-week-long first place position. That's incredible.
Okay, I can't watch Titanic because when my daughter was about 7, she liked Titanic a lot, which meant that she would put Titanic on every single night before she went to bed. Now, this went on for about 2 months. I watched Titanic like 60 times in 2 months. And honestly, I was ready to fucking cut that old lady at the end. I'd had enough of it. To the point where I'd find myself sitting at my desk, like with a book or like a Game Boy or some shit, just mouthing the dialogue as it went on. It was fucking horrific. And I just, like, it's one of those films which I know it's a masterpiece, but it's been so fucking killed for me at this point that I just can't do it anymore.
So
I just can't do it.
I've definitely seen it, but I don't. Yeah, it's one of those that I've seen, but yeah, I was young and don't really remember. But
I
mean,
it is a good film, but yeah, I just can't watch it ever.
I feel like everybody has one of those things because my brother did the exact same thing, but with the 101 Dalmatians movie.
At least that's short. That's like an hour long, right? That's the short movie that released.
I don't remember.
Titanic's like 40 hours.
I mean, that's
long.
Almost worse because he just kept playing it. He literally kept playing it until it broke the video.
I mean, I say all this, but I've been watching Star Trek my entire adult life.
But there's enough of that there's, you know, it's different. There's hundreds of hours of that.
I've probably watched Scott Pilgrim more than any other film I've ever watched. I was depressed. Yeah, when I was depressed, I went through a depression phase, and I just watched Scott Pilgrim, and it ended. I just restart the DVD for like weeks. That's how I got through depression at once.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that with Scott Pilgrim, Mean Girls as well, but you know,
there are worse things to watch on, I guess.
Yeah, Legally Blonde and what was the other one I watched? Legally Blonde and Clueless. Other films that just got me through depression, just all those, just on back to back every day, constantly. But yeah, I'm all right now.
That's good. Now you go back up.
I mean, you didn't meet me when I was at my depressed phase either, because like you didn't meet me like until after that was over. But like that was a rough time, man. That was a rough time. But anyway,
now you've got a different rough time.
Ah, yeah. Like, look at this. It's so hard, right? It's so hard to be a dog owner. That's it.
It's God, so he's adorable.
He's adorable. He's a fucking. He's noisy as fuck, but he's adorable. He does need to shut the fuck up. But yeah. Anyway, after we watched it, or during watching this, long time watchers, viewers of the show will know, I watch a TV show. Every night, about 5 o'clock when I eat my dinner, me and my mom, we watch something, right? And if you ask my mom, she doesn't like science fiction. But my mom is mad for hardcore sci-fi. She just doesn't want to admit it to herself, right? It's like some kind of point of pride for her. So we watch the Lost in Space TV show. We watch all 3 seasons, 1 episode a night. So we watched it over the period of like a month, right? The Lost in Space TV show is remarkably good, right? It's remarkably good because I've never been so on board with something that has such ridiculous plot holes ever. It's so wholesome and so fucking optimistic and so just so like about family and loving your friends and just doing the right thing while evil alien robots that are scary as living shit are trying to kill you. Right. And they just have each season goes through basically a year of their lives. And they have the 3 worst years in history because they set off to do something in episode 1 and they finally manage it in episode 30, which is the last episode. And it's got like, it ends with this, like, these 2 episodes where it's like literally like what, like humans versus robots, the movie. And it's so fucking good. And every single episode sort of like carries on from the last episode. At the end of the season, there's like a jump that takes you through to the next year. And yeah, I would highly recommend it, even though I don't know why. Like it's just, there's so many points where I'm like, there's one point early on where our heroes run from an unconscious woman. Like, just a random woman they've knocked out, and instead of going, we'll tie her up, they run away. And it's just baffling what are you doing? It's one person. It's one human you're running from who's unconscious. Why are you running? And then there's a bit where our heroes are stuck in a car under some tar that's bubbling their car. And they escape inside a parachute. Like, they literally use a tube of parachute to escape. And it's like, what? That would burn your fucking flesh. And it just, yeah. And there's so many things like that that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, like, the whole thing. I loved it. Like, by the end, I was like, yeah, I was so on board. It's such a weird thing when you know how bad it is. So, yeah, watch it if you get time. Really good.
They did make Robot quite weird.
The robots, it's like, yeah, there's like, without, I don't want to get spoilers because I think that people should actually watch it because it is actually good. But there's, like, the good guy robot, he's like a humanoid and he's really alien-looking despite not being that alien-looking. And there's other robot, which is alien as fuck. And honestly, I've not seen a villain design that good since Alien, since the movie Alien. It's like, the villain design is incredible. They're creepy. They're like, you don't know what they're thinking. You can't read their feelings. There's like nothing given away. And they're just terrifying. And the amount of times you've got people running from them or misunderstanding what's happening. And like, there's so much stuff in there that makes you go, ooh, creepy. So if you can overlook the plot holes, you should absolutely watch Lost in Space. There's three seasons and it has a definite final, finite, on purpose ending. Like, it legitimately ends really well. So well that the ending made up for all the plot holes. Like, it was great.
Do they ever put a big glass ball over the robot's head, though?
No, they don't do it. I wish they did, but they didn't. I get the feeling I was hoping to, but yeah, they didn't do it. But they're right, yeah, the robots are so good, mate.
Their car looks fucking cool, though.
Yeah, everything looks cool. It's, oh yeah, right, and Lost in Space, the TV show, right, has the best spaceships I've ever seen. They're so fucking cool. They're like, genuinely, like, their little Jupiter 2 has got this ridiculous iconic design, and the scrappy little bastard crashes about 15 times, like, from orbit, from high orbit, and it just, like, bounces when it hits the ground. It fell off a cliff at least twice. It was turning to a boat with literal sails at one point, and they literally used it like it was a galleon. It was just, the ridiculousness is brilliant, but it feels like an adventure the whole way through. But I don't know why the plot holes are in there, because all the plot holes could have been avoided by just slightly tweaking the storyline. But yeah, the plot holes are inexcusable, but it's still worth it. Yeah, I can't stress enough how much fun it is in the end. It's great. And while I enjoyed it, season one is pretty good, and then it's the first episode of season two, it takes a massive uptick in quality, and it just gets like, it's like they went, oh, we're making an adventure show, and they didn't know the first season, they thought it was making gritty sci-fi, they thought they were doing like political sci-fi the first season, and then in season two they're like, oh, it's just an adventure show, let's just have fucking fun, and that's when it gets like, whew, exponentially better. And
that's good.
The whole cast are good. There's not one person that's not really good either, which is nice. Like, there's no one acting badly. Like, they overbaked the villain in the first season. The villain's too evil in the first season. And, like, they have some...
The villain's still Smith.
Oh, yeah, but they made Smith, like, an evil woman. But she's, okay. But, like, they did a really good job. By the time you get to the end, they took the idea of the Smith character, and rather than making it a shitty redemption story, they made it someone dealing with, like, understanding why they're bad. So it wasn't a redemption story. She was just learning to understand herself. And she started realizing that her motivation made sense to her. And she started sort of harnessing that in a way that was really good. But they overbaked her in the first season. And she was just too fucking dangerous in the first season. And rather than being a fun pirate villain, which is what you need, they'd made a fucking psycho that was going to murder you. And they toned her down in the next season, and then they hit this really nice balance where, like, you could see why they'd work with her and stuff rather than just, like, shoot her in the head. Because by the end of the first season, it was like, someone needs to put a bullet in her. Like, they just need to put a bullet in her. But then, yeah, as it goes on, it evens out, and it's, yeah. And the interpersonal stuff calms down, and it just becomes about super wholesome family surviving, and it's, yeah, great. Anyway, I've banged off that too long there. But, yeah, great, great, 100%. Everyone should watch it. It's fun.
I think that's everything.
That's everything. There was something else.
Was there? I don't know.
No, I had something. Do I have something? Oh, yeah, but bartender. I should talk to you. I should, for the odd person we got,
Your Mac app.
Yeah, I've spelt the word rumors wrong, but you know, bartender. Okay, so the app bartender, what it does, I can't really show you, but on Mac, there's this top bar thing, right? And the problem with the top bar is you've got a Mac with a notch, which I have. So that means there's a bar, like the screen is bigger than 1080. It's like it's bigger than 16 by 10. But the top row of pixels, you can't use the portion in the middle. And that means that the taskbar on the Mac, like the icon bar at the top, if it goes as far as the notch, it doesn't render any icons past that point. It's not that they're lost in the notch, it just stops rendering them at the notch. So you've only got a fixed number of slots. So Bartender is a very cool application which allows you to have a drop-down tray with all your icons in instead, which is really neat and very cool. And it's like, it was a little bit more pricey than it should have been, but it was a one-time purchase. It was, I think it was about £15, which seemed like a lot of money for what it was. But I got a voucher code, as you always do if you shop around. And it's very, very popular. Lots of people on Mac have been using it for many years because it just solves this problem. It just solves this problem outright.
It's really weird that Mac didn't solve this problem.
Well, everyone's already said that. Yeah, but yeah, this has been said repeatedly. But it's now been bought by a company, and it was bought silently. So they changed ownership of it. Very dodgy. And the only reason people know is because Apple have got this system where if the ownership changes, you have to re-authenticate the certificate, which means when someone updates, they get a pop-up. Which is, again, a really good security feature because it's ironclad, and it means that if you're paying attention, you know exactly who owns it and from when they own it. Like, you know exactly when ownership changes, which stops things like plugins getting silently bought by ad companies. But yeah, they did this change, and they did it as quietly as possible, and some people on Reddit pointed it out. But the company that's bought Bartender are shady as fuck. And the reason this is a problem is because the way the Bartender works is it uses screen capture to trigger certain events, right? Which means that potentially a weird advertising company is taking screenshots of your computer every time you change desktop. And it's quite concerning. So I would, at this point, unless more information comes out, I would say if anyone's using Bartender, don't. Just remove it, because it potentially you're giving an unknown person screenshots of your computer, potentially, which is kind of the problem with Microsoft Recall, actually, now I think about it, yeah.
I mean, this sounds like something that should. This sounds exactly like what happened with those old, with the simple apps from Android, like a couple of episodes ago, where an ad company bought them silently.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't even be shocked at the same ad company.
It may well be. In this case, it's far worse because you're charging £15 for something very basic.
No, yeah, it is, and it should be. But there's an application that's free called Hide Me, and it's pretty cool. And I was just pointing out as if I could show you, but I can't. And it's a lot less features, but it's a free application, and it's come a long way in the last 12 months because it was almost unusable when I first tried it, which is why I bought Bartender. But it now works pretty solid. So there is a free alternative, and if you go to macrumors.com. There is a thing called six alternatives, and they literally list six alternatives here. And I'm using Hidden Bar. The one they recommend is Barbie, but if you're a big user of Mac desktops, which I am, it does cause some of your icons to redraw every time you change desktop, which is a little bit jarring. If you've got something like, for me, Mulva does a pop-up every time it redraws, so it's causing me useless pop-ups to occur occasionally, so I didn't use it. But Hidden Bar is the minimum viable tool for it. But yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. My PSA from Hex. Like,
It is a bit weird how the recommended one is the only one that isn't free. But okay.
That's Mac for you. That's the Mac ecosystem for you. Hidden Bar is very good. Hidden Bar is very good. I think it's open source, not Hidden Bar. Oh no, it's not open source. It's just in the Mac store. There you go. In fact, no, it's cool. It's actually this little video here that shows you. Basically, it puts a little chevron in your icon bar, and when you click the chevron, it hides them all. And we click the chevron, it puts them back. But that's cool because it's got a 10-second timeout, so it automatically fucks off after 10 seconds. You can command drag them to move them around, right? And it's got a shortcut key, so if you just want to pop out your icons, I mapped it to Hyper B for bar, and I just click it, and it just pulls out my bar, which is oddly convenient. But yeah, totally free. So there you go.
Good app privacy. Stuff. Data not collected. Good.
Yeah. No data. Well, there's no reason it should. People kind of trusted Bartender because it's been around for years and it adds a lot of incidental function to the bar. Like it can round the corners of it, which is quite nice. It can square the corners, triangle the corners. It can change the bar color. Just a lot of extra stuff as well as holding your bar. And I think they kind of added a lot of value. And the developer seemed really nice. But obviously someone's gone, here's some money. And, you know, I mean, I can't blame the guy for cashing out, but...
I don't know. People always say that. But I feel like if you've built up a level of trust and then you pull something shady like this, you can blame them. When you're a paid-for application.
I was going to say, if somebody's free application and people want to cash out, I ain't actually got a problem with that. I'm like, it's a free application, I cashed out, fair enough. That's
different.
But when it's a paid
application...
I still
think it's shady if you do it shady, you know?
Yeah, well, I just kind of understand the logic. If someone's worked really hard on something and they get to the point where I don't want to do this anymore, I'm just going to take the payout.
I
get it. I'm not saying it's right, but I do get it.
Being shady is being shady.
But yeah, but in the case of Bartender, he built an audience around being a nice dude who helps out the community, and he tries and he adds all these features and stuff, and then he goes and just silently sells it. Like, realistically, that man better got paid well because no one bought anything off him ever again. Like, he's not, no one's buying it.
I mean, he probably did. I think there is definitely, I mean, AI aside, there's been a weird tech shift, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've kind of hit programmer overload, and there's far too many things. And it's reached unsustainable levels for people who want to make money off of it.
Also, the company that own Bartender now, of everything they have is a subscription. So Bartender is definitely going to be a subscription. And the timing for this is especially shady because the macOS update's expected next week to start shipping next week. Like, and every time there's a major macOS version increase, things like Bartender have to be patched to work with the new version. So therefore, they're going to be forcing an upgrade. So the timing of this is also dodgy because people are going to have to upgrade. And when they upgrade, they're going to get all these new features. So it's sort of the perfect time to do it from their point of view. So yeah, also dodgy.
I mean, I'm just looking at that original Mac update rumor. This happened 2 months ago.
Yeah, no, but then pushed a version.
But they had, and it was only when they were called out that they released a little thing that said, "Oh, we totally should have added that to the release notes."
Yeah, I my response to reading that was I just installed High Bar, I just installed fucking Hidden Bar, and just uninstalled Bartender. I'm not risking that. It's too dodgy. I don't want anything to do with that. It, probably nothing. It's entirely possible. It's just business shit. But as it is, I did rather not have it on my machine. So there you go.
Yes, the people who bought them are called Applause.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's the end of Trendy Talk. If you would like to read Wing's thoughts, you can do so on Feather. That's the thing birds have. .onl, which is only ninjas long.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything there. I just went blank. I was like, oh no, where do I go from here? People are going to realise I'm a ninny. So feather.onl for Wing's thoughts. And you can get my thoughts over at hexdsl.com. And if you are interested in the Trendy Talk show notes, they will be public on trendy.hexdsl.com in a little bit. There you go. That is everything. Thank you for watching. I'm going to go and make a thumbnail now. I might even use Affinity Designer to do it because apparently I can do that now. Thank you for watching. Yeah. Anything to add, Wing, or are we done? Anything to add? Any off-the-cuff remarks?
We all done.
Okay. Don't eat corn with robot stitches in it. Goodbye.